Steve Lapis, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Yeah, I saw you do a little bit of the marathon last night after the brackets were announced. You know, doing your thing, you and our good friend Pete Gellin. That was some good stuff last night.
Yeah, you know, it's always a fun show. It's always a tough show, too. It's the one show, obviously, where you're not really scripted, you know, because you almost don't know what's going to happen. But it's always a great night, a fun show. A little bit like Christmas morning for us basketball nuts.
But you know what cracks me up with that, Steve, is they always ask you, okay, you know, give us your bracket sheet, like, right then and there. I need at least 2 or 3 days to digest everything. And, of course, I overthink everything in my bracket. But for you guys, they want you basically to come up with instantaneous picks, don't they? Who's going to come out of that region? Who's going to go to the Final Four? Who's going to win it all? I don't know how you can process it that quickly.
Well, you know what? They do want it instantaneously, there's no doubt. But, you know, for the most part, mostly, not all the teams, but most of these teams we have followed all year, and we've got a pretty good idea about the bulk of them. You know, obviously there's some that you don't, but hey, that goes with the turf.
All right, this day always features a lot of second-guessing the committee. How do you think they did?
I think they did very good. I'll be honest with you. When you look at the last 8 teams that could have either been in or out, including the Syracuses. Actually, I was surprised to say Bonaventure's playing in Dayton. I thought they were in a little bit more solidly than that. When you look at Syracuse, you look at Oklahoma, for example, and you say, well, they shouldn't be in. But I'll be honest, the teams that got left out, they shouldn't be in either. So, you know, I'm of the feeling that the teams that got in last, you could have left them out, and the teams that got left out, they could have been in. It could have gone either way.
You know, when we look at this, what the actual criteria is, it's very, very confusing for fans, and I think even coaches and even analysts like yourself, the message is very, very confusing. The committee wants teams to play a tough non-conference schedule. For the mid-majors, it's really a tough thing to do, as you know, to try to schedule, you know, tough opposition because they don't want to do that. And if they don't win their conference tournament like St. Mary's in Middle Tennessee, if they fall a little bit short, they don't get in. And those two teams, They bear witness here. So the Power Conference teams play a very tough conference schedule as it is. They face good teams more often than probably anybody else. So I'm not sure that we're seeing consistency when the final selections, you know, came out yesterday. Give me your thoughts on that. And do you have a better solution that we'd have a lot less controversy here?
I'll be honest with you. I think the message is relatively consistent. I think if you're a mid-major coach, and I was a mid-major coach, I think that your goal should be, and you can do this. Now, the problem with mid-major guys, they want home and homes. They can't get home and homes. I'll give you St. Mary's, for example. St. Mary's plays in a league with Gonzaga. Gonzaga can get home and homes because they play in a conference, in an arena that's a good-sized arena. You know, St. Mary's, they play in a smaller arena that a lot of people don't want to go and play home and homes. Okay, fine. So that, you know what? If you have to go do one-shot deals to somebody, or you have to do two-for-ones to play somebody better, that's what you need to do. Because, listen, when it's all said and done, what matters? Making the tournament. It's not your record. So here you are, St. Mary's. You're 28-5 when the season's over. How about this? You'd have been better off being a 21-8 or 9 and have a better RPI and have a better chance to get in the tournament if you played better people. Plus, maybe you beat some of them. And they were good enough to beat a couple of teams. And you know what we found out yesterday? We found out that Rhode Island asked St. Mary's to play a home and home. They didn't want to do it. I got to be honest with you, I don't feel sorry for these guys. This is the way it is. If you don't schedule people that have a good strength of schedule and make your strength of schedule as good as you can, you're not getting in the tournament. And you look at Oklahoma State, yes, they had some great wins, no doubt. They beat Kansas. But you know what? They had a strength of schedule out of conference of 295. If you're playing the Big 12 and your out of conference schedule is 295, you're not getting in. And I think that's been fairly consistent all the way through. I got to be honest with you. And I know you're right about what you say about the mid-majors. Yes, they can't get home and homes. So you know what? Do one-shot deal going to somebody. Let somebody pay you $50,000, $75,000, and go there and go try and beat them. And if you don't beat them, at least it's going to help your schedule strength.
Steve Lapis joins us with CBS Sports Network. Again, former head coach at Villanova, also at UMass. Do you still believe that teams like Oklahoma State or somebody out of the Big 12 or even the Pac-12 or the SEC or the ACC, are they held to that same standard because they are playing a rough, tough schedule during the course of their 18 games? So should they not be held to the standard of scheduling tough non-conference games, or should they get away with maybe scheduling some of these lower teams because you know their RPI is going to be high because of what they face basically night in and night out during their regular conference?
Yeah, they definitely have a little more leeway. There's no question. But you know what? Even those teams, it's not like when I was coaching. When I was coaching in the Big East in the 90s, you knew, you absolutely knew, that if you went 500 or better in the Big East, you were going to make the NCAA tournament. So it didn't even matter who you were playing outside because that was probably going to be strong enough. It's changed now. Now, do they have more leeway? Yes. Do they have to play five teams that are ranked in the top 50 of the RPI? No, because like you said, if you're in the ACC, you're going to get plenty of those quality games. But take a look at Nebraska and Penn State, for example. They played in the Big Ten this year. They had pretty good records in the league. But because of the unbalanced schedule, they didn't play the better teams in the league, and that's why they're not going to the NCAA tournament.
Let's look at some of these teams that may be a little under the radar right now. Who do you think has a chance that we're not really talking about that has a shot to be playing into next weekend?
I think Providence has a shot to play into next weekend. I think Providence had a great Big East tournament. They lost in overtime to Villanova. They're tough. They're gritty. They've got three senior starters who've been through the wars in the Big East that have been to four NCAA tournaments in a row. And I think that's a team that is primed to go out there and beat some people. Now, obviously, you know, their first game is not going to be easy. They're playing a very talented Texas A&M team, but a Texas A&M team that's been very up and down this year. And then they'd have to beat North Carolina. And I think that they can win both those games.
When you look at the top four seeds, they have all had some falters in recent years. We've seen Villanova. We've seen Virginia not do real well when they were expected to. You could put Michigan State, even though they're a little bit lower seed this year. What about some of these 1-2 seeds that possibly could get upset?
Here's what I'll tell you. Virginia got put in a tough bracket. You know, if you're facing Arizona or Kentucky, and I'm not saying Kentucky's getting by Davidson because that's going to be a tough game, but if you're playing Arizona or Kentucky in the Sweet 16, I can tell you right now, and I think Tony Bennett's a genius, but you take the Arizona team and you line up their five starters, and then you line up the five starters at Virginia, and you say, let's choose up a team in the park, you're going to take probably four Arizona guys before you take your first Virginia guy. And pretty similar situation with Kentucky in the talent-wise. So I think they're going to run into two teams, or one of two teams, that are extremely talented. That's going to be tough, and they're going to have to probably score 70 points in that game, or in the high 60s. Now, they did it in the ACC tournament. Offensively, they were much better than people thought they'd be. But I think that that's the problem with Virginia. I think Tony Bennett, he is a victim of his own genius. He takes guys who are good, no question, you got to be good, and he makes them into a great team. And I don't know how good they are, but I have a lot of respect for Tony Bennett because I think he's a tremendous, if not the best coach in the country right now.
Best first-round matchup that you are going to have your eye on?
Wow. I have an intriguing matchup, you know, where I'm going to be. And it's intriguing because what is Missouri going to be with Michael Porter? You know what I mean? So we're going to have Missouri and Florida State, an 8-9 game. And it's so compelling because Michael Porter was, you know, when we talk about Marvin Bagley, we talk about DeAndre Ayton, there were really three of these guys when the season started. But Michael Porter was out the whole season. Now he's back. And, you know, you wonder, you know, what kind of a team is Missouri going to be if this guy can get back into the flow? Now, he's been practicing for a couple of weeks, and he didn't play great the other day. But you know what? He got off 17 shots. And I think he's in good enough shape now. He only made five of them. I get that. But the fact that this kid was able to go out there in the first game back after being out for like 3 months, 4 months, whatever, since the beginning of the season, second game, I think tells you something. So I'm really, really interested to see what Missouri is going to be. And I'll tell you what, they're an eight seed that somebody's going to look at and say, these guys are an eight seed? Yeah, with Michael Porter back, not going to look the same, I can tell you that.
Steve Lapis, college basketball analyst for CBS Sports, the former head coach of Villanova, UMass. And, of course, he will be on the calls this weekend as well, too, with CBS. And like you said, you'll be front and center for that Missouri-Florida State matchup, no doubt about it. Before we let you go, Steve, let me ask you, when fans are filling out their bracket, and I know there's no right or wrong or method to the madness, a lot of people will say, well, I need good guard play, okay? I need senior leadership. That's why some of these mid-majors have a shot, because they have guys that have hung around for years. In your opinion, as a coach and as an analyst, your thoughts about what is that formula for this time of year for a team to make a deep run?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and there certainly is no one answer. And as you know, this term is as crazy as could possibly be. I would say, if you put me against the wall, I would say number one, experience, no doubt. Not just experience, but experience in the tournament. You know, you look at a team like South Dakota State that Ohio State's going to play. There's an intriguing first round matchup for you, because South Dakota State played Gonzaga in the tournament last year. They got most of their guys back. They got a great player. Mike Downs averaged 24 points a game, 6'9". So that's a team that's dangerous. They've been in the tournament. They have a great player. They're in senior leadership. And the other thing that I look for in the tournament, I look for teams that could play at two speeds. I think it's very important to be able to, change your game if you have to, based on how the game is being played. You know, you want to play fast? I think that's one of my issues. It's one of the issues I've had with the West Virginia, let's say. When they're pressing and they're running and the game's getting up and down, they're tremendous. But what happens if somebody doesn't turn the ball over 25 times or 20 times and now they got to play a half-court game? Can they adjust to that? And I really believe that one of the reasons why a Tom Izzo has been so successful in the NCAA tournament, he can play, his teams play at two speeds. They want to run, but if they don't run, they could play half-court. Same thing Coach Jay's teams, same thing with Roy Williams' teams, same thing with Jay Wright's teams. These guys can play at two different speeds if they have to, and I think that's important. So experience, having been in the tournament, and I think being able to play and have a game that you can transform from fast to slow, I think definitely helps.
All right. Final four, who's cutting down the nets in 3 weeks?
In the beginning of the year, I had said it was going to be Arizona, Villanova, Michigan State, and Duke. Well, I can't pick Michigan State and Duke because they're in the same region. So I'm going Arizona, North Carolina, Villanova, and Michigan State. And I really believe North Carolina, if they can get by Providence, I think that's their key game. I think they'll be in the Final Four again.
All right. Possibly back-to-back for those Tar Heels, huh? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, it was back-to-back-to-back for the Final Four, back-to-back championship.
Yep,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Once you get in the Final Four, I don't think they're going to win it. You know, right now my champion is Michigan State. I think Arizona will play Michigan State in the championship game. But, yeah, once you get there, who knows?
Hey, Steve, great to always having you on the program. You do a fantastic job. We'll be looking forward to your calls over the weekend. We'll see you in studio. We'll see you courtside. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot.